Hello, and welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast.
Hello.
I'm Emily Glazer.
I'm Jonathan Pyle.
Here we like to review and talk about new movie releases. I'm Matt Dandy.
It is Dandy.
How you doing today?
Doing all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, how are you?
Meh.
Yeah.
Been worse, I've been better.
Do that.
I'm in a good normal state.
Normal state.
You know what I mean? Normal state, yep.
Ow.
Oh, Beans got herself a bone.
Beans is also in her normal state.
Exactly.
Consistently spearing us.
With her extremely long talons.
We really need to clip them.
We need to clip her nails for sure. So, FYI for the podcast, we're going to spoil the movie. We're going to talk about the whole thing. So if you don't want to be spoiled, go watch it and come back later. Also, follow us on Letterboxd if you want to. We post the movies there before we talk about them on the podcast. So, first segment of the podcast. I have nowhere to put the laptop. I found a place.
Pillow.
I'm good. Right. But thanks for the pillow. Thank you for the offering.
You're welcome. Anytime.
So, first segment of the podcast. What are we watching right now? We watched some pretty intense movies recently. I'm not going to lie. I've been going hardcore.
Hardcore? We watched The Matrix.
We did. I've never seen The Matrix. I asked Jonathan to watch The Matrix all the time, and he always says no. And then for some reason, this one time, he said yes.
Yeah, that's true.
It was very random.
It is very random. What did you like it? What'd you give it?
It's not at all what I thought it was going to be. Like the whole like growing babies and using them for energy. I did not expect that. I thought it was just going to be some like AI thing that people like did, but it was a lot more drastic than I was expecting it to be.
It was very drastic.
Yes, it was very drastic.
The drastic cannot be undermined or understated.
Understated, exactly. So we also watched a movie at the State Theater called Old Boy. Pretty intense. You wanted to watch it because you love that movie and it's the 20th anniversary or something, so they're bringing it out to the theaters. But it was pretty good.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I would say it's a piece of art, but there's some weird bits to it, but then there's a lot that I respect about it that I think were pretty revolutionary.
I agree.
For when they made it. So like overall, good movie. And also I think the name is really good.
I know, it's a great name.
It makes no sense. When we walked in the theater, it was awesome, the ambiance. It was like dark, the lights were dark, and they had this like strip of lighting along the ceiling that glows, and they like can red. Change the colors, yeah. And it was red. And then the curtains were over the screen, and it had like Old Boy projected on it, like just the words, and like red, and it was just such a vibe.
That in that theater before.
I know, they've never done it before, and they are pretty good with their lighting. Like they utilize the lights on the ceiling and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've seen sometimes like with the ads, because they'll play ads for whatever movies are coming, they'll like match the lighting to the ads, which is super cool. Like it kind of makes watching the ads fun, because they bring back like really old movies, like Jaws and stuff like that they had recently, and it's so cool because you get to see the real like original ad for the movie for like older movies, which is so funny.
I know,
like,
I love,
just so weird.
I love watching those old trailers.
I know, like they're not, they're just like, they're so like blunt,
and they're just like clips of stuff, you
know? I
know,
it's not just, even it's like, it's not like they don't tell a story in it or like try to evoke anything. It's just like the movie's about this
is
guy's
what it is.
In it, come watch it. That's literally what it is. It's super fun watching old trailers, though, because it's nothing like they would make trailers today.
Yeah, nothing like it.
Yeah, so.
There's definitely an art to the trailer, I think.
Oh, yeah. A good movie trailer really makes it. You can't give away the whole story in a movie trailer, or
it's
I won't want to watch it.
Like, when trailers are, like, 3 minutes long.
All I want to know is, like, what vibe I'm going to get. Like, am I going to get action thriller? Am I going to get emotional life story? Like, what's the vibe? I don't want to know everything that's going to happen. Like,
yeah,
I want
that
to be saved for the actual movie experience. So it really upsets me when movies just like give it all away in
me
the commercials.
Too. I want
and
a movie. Sorry.
No, you go. No, I always have something more.
I want a movie to like market itself completely different than what it actually is. I think that would be genius.
And then you're surprised by what it is.
Yeah, but like,
well, people have
drastically
done that.
Different. Like
yeah.
A horror movie, but it's like a comedy. I think that would be so fun.
Well, that's what the movie, oh my gosh, what was it called? Beans is so
Beans.
Itchy right now. She keeps like chewing on her booty. There was a movie, it was like a horror movie, but then it was really funny. I never remember the names of things.
You don't.
But you have, I don't think you've ever seen it, but my family loved it. And it's about like these kids who go to their grandparents' house.
The Visit?
The Visit. That was a horror movie that was actually a comedy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
We should watch it. It's really funny.
Yeah?
Can we watch it, please?
We can watch it sometime.
Score. We're going to watch it.
I'll add to the ongoing list.
It's one of my favorite movies. I think it's so good.
Wow. Okay.
It's so good. I remember I was like, when I left, I was like, I cannot believe they really tricked me like that. Like, they done did you dirty. But it's pretty good.
It's another Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that. Usually he doesn't have like comedy in his movies. I guess he has satire.
Satire, yeah.
But I don't think he normally has comedy.
Not usually comedy.
That's interesting. And then we're also still watching House of Cards, too.
Yes.
Oh, what the thing I wanted to say about movie trailers. Another pet peeve I have with movie trailers is when they advertise it so much to the point of like, I don't want to watch it because I've seen the ad so many times. Like the Wes Anderson House of Dog or what? Isle of Dogs?
Yeah.
Isle of Dogs. They advertised it so much that I literally like actively would have paid to not see the movie because they put so many ads that I was so tired of seeing it. So that's the end of my rant.
End of my rant.
Those are my two biggest pet peeves with.
I think a movie trailer, if it's trailers like beyond a minute and a half long, that like minute and a half to minute 45, it's beyond that, I think it's too long.
But you watch movie trailers all the time. I would have expected that you would want like longer trailers.
I do watch movie trailers all the time. I like watching them. Although I've like a couple of my friends just go like cold turkey. They don't watch any movie trailers at all. So
why?
That when they go to the movie, they're like surprised, you know? They don't know what to expect.
You know what's fun about
it? I kind of respect that.
I actually, they want the pure experience of literally even seeing the trailer in the theater, which I get.
Mm-hmm.
But something cute about Jonathan is he likes to guess what the trailers are going to be before they play. And he's really good at it. Like,
well,
you're really good at it.
At the Brookings Theater, it's pretty easy because they always show like, they show the same trailers way too much.
They do, but that's because they only have 8 theaters.
That's true.
To advertise for. Yeah. So, but you're really good at it.
I used to be able to guess it off the, you know, the green screen.
With the description of like slight sexual violence or something.
Parents strongly cautioned or something.
Yeah.
That's how much I used to watch trailers.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you're really good at it. There have been times where you'll like be like, oh, that's going to be, I bet you it's going to be this. And it's like a movie I never even heard of.
Really?
Like, this would be the first time I saw the trailer. You've done a couple times.
I don't remember that.
Very impressive. He's a very talented man, everybody.
I can get one thing, movies. That's the only thing.
You're talented at other things. You're a really good cook.
Thanks. Appreciate
you just
that.
Take a lot of time to cook.
I take a long time to cook.
But you're a really good cook because you are meticulous. You're just like your mom. She's very meticulous, so she's a very good cook. And you're very meticulous. But I think I'm a good cook for the complete opposite reason.
Yes, yeah.
Because I'm not meticulous at all.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll throw things together without a recipe, and it's really good.
And that's a big
so, like,
really
I'm
good.
Like, I'm like my mom in that because she taught me how to cook. So, like,
that
I can cook
sense.
With anything. Like, I'm, like, chopped. You know what I mean?
Chopped.
The show, Chopped. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I watched that.
And then you're more like on Hell's Kitchen, Gordon Ramsay. Like you follow the rules.
Rules to the T.
But I think that's kind of, you know, we balance each other.
It's good that we're
in a way.
Different and like that.
But then sometimes when we're in the kitchen together, we will like, we cannot stand
I know,
what the
yeah,
other
we're both
doing.
Like, no.
We micromanage. Like if you're leading the meal or I'm leading the meal, we'll both be like,
I gotta do this. Chicken's done. No, it's not done.
Oh my gosh, that's probably the thing we talk about the most. It's like probably the most had conversation ever in our life is like, is the chicken done? I always think it is and you never do,
and sometimes most of the time I'm right. It's
but
not
if
done.
It's not, you can cook it more. If it's overdone, then it's just dry and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't pour water on it and it's gonna taste good.
I would rather eat dry meat than get salmonella. It's my thoughts.
That's what she said.
That was strong.
Okay, are you ready to introduce the movie for today?
Yeah, off that intro. The movie's Gran Turismo, directed by a guy named Neil Blomkamp. You know, he's done several movies. You know the movie District 9?
Yes, that's like a classic.
Yeah.
People love that movie.
He did that movie. He's really into sci-fi. He did Elysium with Matt Damon, which I kind of enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a movie called Chappie about robots, which I don't really enjoy. I don't think a lot of people like that movie.
Hmm.
Didn't get great reviews. And now this movie. Crazy.
Who would have thunk?
Stars David Harbour as Jack Salter. Orlando Bloom as Danny Moore. This is the first movie or the...
It's been a long time.
It's been a while. Last movie he was in was the last Hobbit movie in 2014.
Well, he also had a baby recently and got married.
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
So, you know, he's out there living his life.
Love that for him.
Everybody loves Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. Legolas. Do you know what that is?
Legolas?
Yeah. He plays Legolas.
That would be a sad life.
And Lord of the Rings.
Without Legos? A life without Legos.
Legolas.
Unimaginable.
L-E-G-O-L-A-S, not L-E-S-S.
Well, I'm happy for him.
Yeah. Anyways, good to see him again. And a guy named Archie Medic. I apologize for the pronunciation. Archie Medicwe? I don't know. As Jan Martinborough. And Digimon.
Was that his screen debut?
No. He was also in Heart of Stone.
Really?
He's the guy helping the
he was helping
the tech
that.
Guy.
The wow.
Tech guy. Yeah, right?
Wow. So hey, he's had some good breaks recently.
He's doing well. This is his first big one, I think.
Well, probably his first leading role that I know of, at least.
And then Digimon Honsu as his father. And you know
what
else?
I like him. He's great.
He's such a good actor.
He's a really good actor.
He's really, he should be, like, people should hire him more. That's what I think. Or he should take more projects. But
his crying was really good in this movie.
Right?
He had a crying scene. And I feel like you could tell when they're using the whatever, and then when they're actually crying, because sometimes tears just like fall out of their eyes, but their face looks normal. And I'm like, what?
Like what?
But he, you could tell he was crying for real. It was really good.
Yeah. And then Jerry Horner played his mom, and she's one of the Spice Girls.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know much about the Spice Girls. It's of a different generation.
I was like, what?
But I'm really surprised.
Yeah, I thought that was crazy. Anyway.
Well, at least she's playing her own age. Love that for her.
The plot. So based on the unbelievable, inspiring true story of a team of underdogs, a struggling working class gamer, a failed former race car driver, and an idealistic motorsport exec who risk it all on the most elite sport in the world.
That's not the most elite sport in the world, is it?
Well, that's just their
I guess
opinion.
It's pretty darn expensive.
Well, that's everybody's
So maybe that's
opinion.
What makes it elite.
What would you say is the most elite sport in the world?
I don't know. I think of soccer.
Yeah.
Because
it's
like
the most popular.
The most popular sport in the world. And I mean, they pay them redonkulous amounts of money.
True.
So I don't think of football as elite, though. Because football to me is like dirty America. Like roll in the grass. You know what I mean? Like whereas soccer is like sophisticated.
Sometimes. Other times not, like when they fake an injury.
You're wearing your soccer jersey right now too.
Oh yeah, I am. Kavinga.
Kamavinga.
I don't even know how to pronounce it. Shows you how much I know about soccer.
I bought him that shirt, and I asked one of my friends when I was buying it. I was like, "Who's your favorite player on Real Madrid?" And he was like, "Kamavinga." And I was like, "Let's put it on the shirt." I'm gonna buy Jonathan.
It's one of my favorite shirts. Any guesses on the budget? I don't know why I always feel like I have to say it that way.
What do you mean?
Budget.
On the budget.
Budget.
This one's tricky.
It is tricky.
Because they had a lot of like really good cars and they did a lot of animation, but also like, I don't know. I would say 70 million.
Very close. 60 million.
I was going to say 60, but then I thought I was lowballing it.
Lowballing it. You're a lowballer.
But that's pretty good. I'm getting good at it.
It's made $53 million so far.
That's good.
It's doing pretty good.
Hopefully they cut even.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's all I got. I'll give this movie. I enjoyed it a whole lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, me too.
It's the crowd pleaser of the year, I think. So far.
Oh yeah. I would agree. How many stars would you give it?
I'd give it 3.5.
I'd give it 4 stars.
4 stars?
Mostly for enjoyment. Honestly, I wanted to kind of separate it and give it like different stars for like
segments of the movie?
No, like for a different reason. So like I would give it a 5 out of 5 for like enjoyableness, but I would give it a 3.5 out of 5 for movie quality and make and production and acting and script, everything. You know what I mean? Like the actual movie itself. But I really enjoyed it. And I guess getting back into movie trailers, maybe that was good that we had that conversation. I think they did a terrible job with the trailer for this movie. I did not want to watch it.
Yeah, you didn't.
Like, I would have been fine not seeing it. And I'm so glad that we did see it in theaters because I really, really enjoyed it. But I would have not seen it because the trailer was so not good.
It was... The trailer was a little cheesy and... Just didn't really hook you.
It didn't hook you. It just seemed like another racing movie. Like it seemed like another one of those movies that they make for no reason and nobody watches.
Well, they don't make it for no reason.
But I thought it was, well, they make it to make money. But overall, I thought it was very enjoyable. I always think I'm not going to like racing movies. And then I love racing movies when I watch them. Because I listed some off. I was thinking Ford versus Ferrari. Secretariat is a good one.
Secretariat, I forgot about that one. Yeah. Seabiscuit.
I never watched Seabiscuit.
But Racing Stripes. Come on.
Kirby Fully Loaded.
I love that movie. I've seen that movie.
I don't know if it's Herbie or Kirby. I have no idea.
It's Herbie.
Okay,
Kirby is the little like pink ball that swallows people.
Oh, from Mario?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's why I'm confused about it.
Not from Mario. He's got his own world.
Well, you know, I'm happy for him in his own world. I also was thinking, of course, this movie, Gran Turismo, and Turbo, the snail movie.
That movie's...
I'm kidding about that one. That one was pretty iffy. It was just like the first thing I thought of when I was like, racing movies. And it's like, Turbo.
And Rush. Love Rush. You know that song, I Can't Stop? You remember that song?
No. Could you sing it for me?
No, I can't. No. But you remember. It's the electronic one.
No.
You don't remember?
Oh, I Can't Stop.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was used in the trailer for the movie Rush, and that trailer goes so hard.
So that's that's a good trailer. They really, in my opinion, were slacking on the trailer, and I bet you that's hurting them in the box office.
Yeah.
Also, they released their movie like right around Cinema Day, so everybody's getting cheap tickets. You're not going to make as much money. But Cinema Day was fun. August 27th, everybody. Can't get out there this year because it's already happened. But next year, get on out there and see yourself a $4 movie. But with inflation, it'll probably be a $5 movie. Okay, so a couple of notes that I have for this movie are, let's see. There were, in my opinion, two big aspects of this movie. One that they failed terribly at and one that they succeeded like exceptionally at. So let's start with the bad news. The character development and the storyline was not good. Like, it was boring. Now, not particularly the storyline, but like the way he developed his family and his personal life was just not interesting, and it just felt like another cliche underdog movie.
Yep.
Like, all you really get out of it is, like, Jan is an angsty teen. Jack, the coach, is just an F-up who almost made it big. And, like, Danny is some rando marketing top honcho. But it was just, it was cliche. Like, it was basic and cliche and, like, boring. And I didn't like the character development.
I think the second half of the movie is much better than the first.
Exactly. So, time for the win, in my opinion. They kept you on the edge of your seat, like 100%. The racing scenes were super fun to watch. It was well edited. Like, you were like wholeheartedly rooting for him. And like, you were literally, I was smiling in the movie.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I was getting butterflies of like nervousness. And I'm just so surprised how they were so successful with the racing scenes. And maybe it's because they focused so much emphasis on that, but then they just didn't focus on the actual like character development of the story. And I thought that was disappointing.
Yeah, I get that. I did catch myself smiling during a lot of scenes.
I always in movies and like if I'm smiling or crying, I'm like hiding it because I don't want people to see me. But I'm like, who cares? Nobody's looking at me. They're watching the movie.
They're watching the movie.
But if you like ever like lift your hand to wipe an eye or like you sniffle in a movie, everybody thinks you're crying.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and it's like embarrassing for some reason. Like, what's wrong with having an emotional response to a movie? That's what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I even had a moment where I like had a little bit of a tear when his dad was crying.
I did notice you doing that. So I think you're right.
See? That's so embarrassing.
You should be really embarrassed. Yeah, no, that part almost,
it was pretty good.
Got me a little emotional too.
And they did like a bunch of references to the game when you were in the real world racing that I thought was honestly kind of cliche and like borderline hokey, but it was slightly cute. Like they would do things like they would show you like it would cut, like when he say like when he won at the end, it cut to the Gran Turismo version of it, or like it would be like goal achieved, like Gran Turismo screen.
I kinda
like
get that.
They kept making it game references, which I thought was kind of cliche and hokey.
Never played PlayStation?
No, I never did. I had a Wii. Yes.
Well, I had a Wii.
I played
too.
American Idol Wii, and you'd sing the songs.
I had a racing game. I don't think it was Gran Turismo actually, but it was another racing game that was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was sweet that when we were in the movie and you were like, I played this with my dad growing up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can understand why this might be for sentimental for a lot of people who like loved the game, playing the game and racing games and stuff.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
getting to see people like become real racers from the game. That's like based on a true story. It was pretty cool.
Crazy. Crazy. Yeah. That's what I forgot what I was going to say.
Cool. You ready to get into the notes?
Yep.
Okay, so let's talk about the plot, everybody. So, it starts out with a marketing executive, Danny. He's flying to Tokyo, changing in his Uber into another outfit before he's going to go present to like a couple of executives. And this is their very basic way of like introducing him as a not very important marketing employee because he's literally changing into a suit in his Uber. You know what I mean? Like he's haphazard, he's disheveled, he's not like being greeted or anything. Like he's coming in, doing a quick presentation and leaving basically. And so he presents the idea to the motorsports division of Nissan.
Excuse me.
Nissan?
No, that's how he called it.
Oh, because he's British?
Yeah, Nissan.
Oh, we call it Nissan in the States, so I'm going to call it Nissan.
Back stateside.
Mm-hmm, back stateside. So there, he wants to establish a GT Academy to recruit top-tier players of the racing simulation Gran Turismo to turn them into real race car drivers, basically saying that they could tap into a market of people who are obsessed with race car driving and who are obsessed with the game Gran Turismo. If they can, you know, sponsor drivers who played Gran Turismo, that's probably going to get a lot of the 80 million people who played Gran Turismo to want to buy Nissans.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah. So, and honestly, I never really thought much about Nissan cars, you know, but now I'm going to notice them.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty cool thing that they did. Like they went on a huge limb. They did something nobody would have ever thought of doing. And they executed it like successfully.
Yeah, crazy.
It's really cool. So Danny gets approval from the board. Another way they show you that he is not a very important executive is he's literally like disheveled walking out with his suitcase. And this guy comes out and he's like, yeah, you can do it. I'm like, they literally, like you said, immediately gave him an approval for like millions and millions and millions of dollars.
That
project.
Was the worst part of the movie, in my opinion.
Like he should have had to fight for it a little bit more.
But
like,
also,
there's no way they would give approval for that easy. I feel like
the movie didn't need to be any longer, though. In fact, I think it's a little too long.
Yeah, but I think the things they could have cut out. Like, I don't think they needed a love story at all. In my opinion, it didn't add anything to the
probably
movie.
Not.
I think it was a waste of time. You don't always have to have a love story for a movie to be interesting or for people to want to watch it.
Agreed.
So the board approves it. Beans, you're clicking on my computer. You're messing it up. So the board then approves his idea. And Danny goes and he tries to recruit coaches to lead their team, but nobody wants to do it. They think that the kids couldn't possibly be good enough to drive real cars after having only played a simulation.
Which I can kind of understand why they would think that.
I understand it as well. Like, it is very, like, dangerous, race car driving. And, like, the G-force and the actual physical aspect of it, the kids have never done, you know?
What Jack Salter said, he was like, the G's you experience are twice as much as an astronaut lifting from
Earth. Into space.
Is that true?
I can't imagine that's true.
I don't know about that.
You know, maybe you're the fun fact guy. You were supposed to like research things ahead of time, just saying.
Well, yeah, I know, but that wasn't a fun fact. I couldn't find it. But
you tried to?
Yeah.
Well, you could have Googled what G-force do you feel going into space, what G-force do you feel going into NASCAR, and you could have figured it out yourself.
Well, it was a busy work day. I just don't think it's that realistic.
Okay. So, Jan is one of the players who gets a chance to go to the training camp. So, they introduce him as being kind of considered a waste of space by his family, who is very unsupportive of him wanting to be a race car driver. And in my opinion, like, who could blame them? Like, said he'd never driven a real race car, and it's a very expensive sport, and it's super dangerous. So, like, they were very apprehensive about him pursuing that career. They wanted him to pursue something stable, get a degree, get a job, and like and have a stable, normal life.
They didn't think that playing video games could translate equally into racing.
They were one of the haters, because haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate.
Exactly.
Gamers rise up.
So, they also, at the time, introduce a girl that Jan is interested in. She's sweet. She's cute. So, one thing that I want to say about this girl is that she offered nothing to the story, like we said before. He liked her. She liked him back. They started dating.
You're right.
That was it.
That was it.
But I also did like one aspect of it that I don't like how, like, in modern media and movies, it's always portrayed that if you fall in love or you start dating somebody, you have to either choose your career or your love life. But I don't think that's true. Like, I think if you find the right person, they will support you in your career. And I don't like that. There's the whole, well, you get one or the other. Like, you can't choose both. I don't like that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, I had a good feeling and a bad feeling about her. I'm pretty much 50-50 with this movie all the way through.
Yeah.
Like, through and through.
Yeah, and I'm glad she didn't become a distraction.
Me too, because that would have made it even more cliche. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he can't get his mind off the girl, and then he screws up somehow in a race.
I know,
and,
which happens in like every single movie.
Yes. Like every single, like sports movies especially.
I know, and I appreciate that she didn't have to be a distraction. She was just his girlfriend. And maybe he really did meet a girl at the time, but I don't know.
He probably
did. Just thought it was unnecessary. Like, I didn't really care about her part. So he meets up with her at a party. The party gets split up by the cops. And so Jan bolts away in his car, and he does a really good job basically evading the cops. And this is where they show you very bluntly that his skills in the game could be applicable in the real world, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was pretty good. He evaded the cop cars.
Pretty good.
Just
pretty
like good. Ryan Gosling in Drive.
Yep, exactly, exactly.
It did remind me of that opening scene, though. Crazy.
So, at the academy camp, Jack, their coach, pretty much hazes everybody. And so they start out with 10 people who are narrowed down then to 5. Those 5 people are then going to compete. And then whoever wins gets all this crazy stuff that I'll talk about later. So one of the drills that they do when they're like eliminating people, Jan is driving and Jack is in the car, and the car crashes. So nobody believes Jan when he says that the brakes were glazed, and they act like he's making excuses for being a bad driver, basically. And that he should move on and he's never going to make it in the game. But it turns out that he was actually right.
He
the brakes
was right.
were glazed, and he knew because of the game, which I don't understand, because do your brakes glaze in the game?
They must.
Like, I don't know. I guess maybe if you drive too fast, you use your brakes wrong, you'll harden your brakes and then they'll be glazed while like throughout your route.
I'm not even sure what glazed brakes even means.
I Googled it. So it's when like there's so much heat and friction on the brakes that it almost like makes it to a glass layer.
Oh.
And so it's like more slick.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think that's exactly why. Yeah.
Yeah. So he like knew exactly what it was because of the game, and nobody believed him, and then he was right. So
he
it
was
almost
genius.
they kind of really play it out that Jan knew the game better than anybody else, and because of that, that's what made him so good, was because he was so knowledgeable on all the all the routes, all of the tracks, like all of the cars, everything in the cars, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. So
they did film on a lot of real racetracks.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
They didn't film at Le Mans. They just use images of different tracks to make it look like it was actually Le Mans.
Oh, so they weren't able to film at Le Mans? I wonder why.
Yeah, it didn't say why, unfortunately.
But yeah, so this is another way that they show that Jan's skills are applicable in the real world. So Jan makes it to the final five against all odds because he wasn't doing good the whole time. And this is where they are now going to hold a race of the five of them to pick the best driver.
One of the girls, I think it was, oh, I don't remember her name, but one of the girls in the GT Academy, mm-hmm. she is actually a professional racer.
The one with the buns?
Yes, the actress.
Whoa, that's so cool. Yeah. Oh my God, that's so cool. I think her name was Leah or Leia.
Something like that, yeah.
So if you win this competition of the final five, Nissan will then sign a contract with you to be a driver with them if you can qualify for a professional driver's license. So in order to get them the professional license, they are supporting Jan because he was the winner. I didn't say that. I kind of messed that up. but they are supporting Jan to go to all of these professional races to try to get a professional license. And it's crazy, crazy. They're literally flying him around on a private jet to go to all these races. They're paying for all this stuff for him. Like, it's a pretty huge, expensive. Huge deal. Like, it's kind of crazy how much they pay just as a consideration of like, oh, well, it's good marketing. So we'll pay millions of dollars for this.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Jan narrowly wins the race against an American competitor, Maddie Davis. So this was the big one to decide who was going to win the GT competition. I'm sorry I spoiled it. I kind of wrote things in the wrong order. But Danny, the marketing guy, insists that Maddie should be chosen as a representative because he is better with the press than Jan is. So Jan is kind of awkward and he stumbles. But Jack, the coach, pretty much pushes back on this because he's like, no, the winner is the winner. Yeah. That is the best athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He should win. So Jack ends up winning that debate. And pretty much they're kind of showing you that Danny sees this all more as PR and marketing, but Jack sees it completely as athleticism. And I think both of them are important. But I agree with Jack, like, the best athlete should be the winner. So yeah.
I thought David Harbour was a perfect casting choice for the role of
yeah,
Jack.
I thought he was really good.
He's like dry and sarcastic humor.
Yes, exactly. Great. He plays the comeback from a fuck up really good.
Mm-hmm.
That guy.
MVA.
I just think that Danny, the marketing guy, like, I thought this was going to go somewhere. Like, him having said, no, don't let it be Jan, make it Maddie. But instead, it was more just like, oh my gosh, Danny, how could you say that? And then we moved on. We didn't care anymore.
Where did you think it would go?
I just thought that maybe there would be drama with it later or something. Or it would, like, come out. But instead, it was more just, herring. I guess they were just trying to say, like, he almost didn't have it. I don't even know if that was true. Like, it seems like it might have just been for dramatization.
It might have been a liberty that they took.
Yeah. So next we enter to the montage, which was, this part is when it becomes really enjoyable for me, of all of these big league races. And Jan is trying so hard to get his license, but he's not doing great at the start, but he eventually does meet the requirements to get his racing license. So Jan's first race as a signed contracted Nissan driver is the Nürburgring. Yes, the Nürburgring. And it's notoriously a very dangerous track. His car goes airborne in a freak accident and kills a spectator. And of course, Jan takes it very seriously, and he considers quitting racing all out. So this is the big climax of sadness. Because all movies, you know, it's going to come three quarters of the way through the climax of sadness. And so his coach, Jack, tried to convince him to go back to racing by sharing a story from his own career where a fellow driver died. And the pivotal point to Jack was that the other driver told him as he was going off to the hospital that it wasn't his fault. And he tries to stress that to Jan, that it wasn't his fault that the spectator died in this case. And he ends up getting Jan to agree to go back to racing.
Very, very good scene.
It was really good. It was very enjoyable. Yeah. So after this, there is a movement started within the racing community to ban simulator racers from joining the real world races. Danny, the marketing guy, basically convinces Jack and Jan that the only way to legitimize simulator racing is for the GT team to take the podium at Le Mans, a 24-hour extreme race. I thought this was like a little bit like, really?
I know.
Like, you're telling me your investors want to cut spending to you, so you're going to
enter
into one of the most expensive races probably to fund.
Yeah, that.
I was like, that's so iffy. This is how you're proving that?
Yeah. I don't see a lot of people sponsoring that being like, yes, this seems like a confident decision.
I know, exactly. I was looking it up, and apparently Jan was not like the first person to win this competition. He was actually in the third round of the competition. And it wasn't actually, you know, you're a fun fact guy. You're supposed to bring these fun facts.
I'm sorry. I had a busy work day.
When they were at the Le Mans, the movie set up their team so that they would be three simulator race guys, but in reality, it was actually one simulator race guy who had won previously, and it was one professional driver. And then
Jan.
Jan were the three of them. And Jan didn't actually set a course record at Le Mans like they made it out in the movie. But that was such a dramatic moment that I'm so glad they did it, because it made you so happy in the movie if you really believe that it's real. So they basically go to Le Mans. They don't show anything about the training beforehand. I guess there wasn't enough time to show it. I didn't really mind that they didn't show
long.
It.
Would have been too long.
So on race day, Jan's father comes up to him prior to Le Mans and apologizes for not initially being supportive of his dream to be a driver. And that was the emotional scene we were talking about earlier. So at the start of the race, a competitor of Jan's crashes in like a fiery explosion, and thankfully the guy was fine, but Jan was like jaded by it. So Jack's coach tries to calm his nerves by playing his favorite songs, Songbird and Orinoco Flow, which is cute because these songs are normally made fun of, which I would say for no reason because they're really good songs. But I thought it was really sweet and it was
Kenny
funny.
G.
It did pull him back into reality.
The loop of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go through, they show you the trials of Le Mans, how difficult it is on them. But near the end of the race, Jan deviates from the normal race lines in a way he had done in the simulation prior, which was something that nobody had ever done before. And he ended up getting a lap record, which was awesome to watch in the movie, even though it wasn't actually true. But he finished in third place, which made it to the podium, which was just like, they really made
it
you root for him. Like,
really dramatic,
I was
really
so
intense.
Happy. The drama was perfectly done. I loved it.
Loved it.
I thought it was great. We left the movie like, God, we need to do more with our lives. Like,
I know, right?
What are we doing?
I kind of feel like,
what are we doing wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So,
we gotta do more.
Play more video games. What was the one quote that you read about Call of Duty or something?
Oh, it was a review on Letterboxd. Yeah. It was like, wait till the military finds how good I am at Call of Duty.
You can just join the military, you know, like you don't have to be professional. To
well,
join
yeah,
the military.
I know, but it's just funny. It's a funny review. The song that they played at the end of the movie. Do you remember? It's like the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
No.
You don't remember the song?
What about it?
It became famous worldwide when it was used for the ending of the movie Heat, which is just such a good ending, and I love that song. I listened to it on the way to work.
Oh, so that probably makes you love this movie more. Did you recognize it when you were watching the movie?
Yeah, immediately. I was like, wait, it's that song.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love
it. I don't remember, but I probably recognize it if I heard it.
And the sushi chef in Japan that smiles to Jan and his girlfriend is the real Yasunori Yamauchi.
The guy who invented
the
simulator?
The guy who invented the game, yeah.
That's so cool. That's awesome that he had a cameo. I love that. Wow. Okay. So in the epilogue, they show you the real Jan Martinborough, and they tell you how he's competed in over 200 races, and served as his own stunt double in the film, which was really cool. But he was his own stunt double. But that was the end of the movie.
That was it?
Yep. And I really quite enjoyed. Now we get to the time of the podcast where we have to talk about what we're going to do.
The pod generation?
I want to watch the pod generation. I know you might not want to, but I think it seems like an interesting concept. Video. So we're going to watch the pod generation next week. Love you guys. See you next time. Bye. Showing.